From APM, I'm Ben Johnson, and this is Marketplace Tech. This week, the tech world has yet again been rocked by revelations about a culture of sexual harassment and unwanted advances towards women. This time, the revelations have been about a common kind of relationship in the startup world with some tricky power dynamics, that of the venture investor and the entrepreneur. Dave McClure of the company 500 Startups and Chris Sacca of Lowercase Capital were both named in a New York Times report, which led to more women coming forward. Sacca retired from his firm earlier this year before the report. McClure has now resigned from 500 Startups because of the report. And one of the victims of McClure's unwanted advances is Sarah Kunst, entrepreneur and founder of ProDay, a sports media company. She comes on our show from time to time to chat and joins us for her first interview since the New York Times report. Sarah, thanks for talking with us.
Of course. Thank you for having me again.
So how did you decide to come forward about your own experience? Was there a specific moment or a thing that happened?
You know, for me, it was there's been so much going on recently in tech about this conversation, right? And we know anecdotally, even before diversity numbers were started to be released a few years ago from major tech companies, that there is a problem in tech, right? You walk into the average venture capital shop, or you walk into, you know, the average startup or even a big tech company, and you notice that everybody's sort of a dude and mainly white and occasionally Asian. And so we've known that there's a problem around diversity, and that there's a problem with, let's call it for what it is, right? If you have a population with 50% people are women, and you have multiple industries where it's, you know, 80% men, I think we can call it sexism. So we knew there was a problem with sexism in tech. I think in the past couple months, what's really started to come out, maybe even the past couple of years, starting with Ellen Pao's trial when she sued venture capital firm Kleiner Perkins, is sure. That it's starting to come out that there's also a lot of sexual harassment in tech. And, you know, the Kleiner Perkins trial happened, and then now there's been sort of with Uber and Susan Fowler and then Binary Capital, Justin Kaldbach, there was kind of this resurgence where all of a sudden women were ready to talk about their experiences of sexual harassment. And most importantly, the media and the industry was ready to listen. And when that started to happen, I just, you know, felt like, hey, maybe it's time I add my voice to this discussion. And it felt like it was an important moment to say, you know what, this guy did this to me. I know he's done similar things to other women. I had no idea how many things to how many other women, but you know, this isn't okay. And if I'm not willing to speak out, how can I expect anybody else to? And so it was just sort of the perfect timing. And then when the New York Times came to me and said, hey, we've heard, you know, rumors, I decided it was time to talk about it. It was time to tell the truth, and I'm glad I did.
Yeah. How are you feeling overall about everything that has happened and all the fallout that has sort of occurred since this story and your specific part in it?
You know, I think it's been definitely a whirlwind. I thought, you know, uh-huh. Hey, I'm going to put this on the record and people will know, and that's good. And, you know, women can sort of proceed with caution because certainly there are other investors, you know, at 500 who, you know, are probably safer to talk to, and they should know that. Instead, what happened was this sort of immediate fallout where the story went from, hey, you know, he harassed me, to, hey, he's actually had to step aside as CEO, to, hey, he's actually sexually assaulted other women, and resigned. And so, you know, to have all that play out over a holiday weekend felt really surreal, but it also showed me how important it is, for people to speak up, because if you don't speak up, then nobody else can hear you and say, wait a minute, that happened to me too. And I thought maybe it was my fault, or I was the only one, but I'm not, and it's not. And, you know, I need to add my voice to this conversation. And I think sometimes women are socialized to sort of make nice and not speak up. And he's probably a nice guy. And what about his kids? And at some point you realize that, you know, you can't police or control other people's decisions. And once they make the decision to cross those lines, to harass people, to assault people, it's not up to you to spend the rest of your life holding that secret in to protect them. It's up to them to own the decision they made and, you know, live with it, whatever consequences that might bring. And so you know, I'm so happy I spoke up because it kind of spurred other women to come forward with far worse stories, and got him out of a position where he could do this to women. But I'm also hope that people hear that in general and just sort of think, wow, actually, it's my right. And I have the, you know, it's my right to speak up about things that happen to me because it's my story and I can own it and I can tell that story. And it's also not okay for people to do things to you that they know are illegal and wrong. And it's okay to stand up and say, no, that's not okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think I know your answer to this already, because you're sort of talking about it here, but we've known for a long time that the tech industry generally hasn't been friendly to women and that a power imbalance is created when the clear majority of people working in the industry are men. The power imbalance encourages bad behavior. Do you feel like the women who have spoken out about this have made a positive impact on that power imbalance already, or do you think that hasn't quite played out yet?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, right? Free speech is the best way to speak truth to power, right? And we think about that a lot with journalists, but what we don't think about a lot, especially in the age of social media, in the internet, it was so much information available to so many people, is that everybody can speak truth to power and everybody can say, you know what, here's what's happening. And it doesn't, unfortunately, always mean there's going to be a cataclysmic sea change. What we've seen in the past few weeks with Binary and then now, 500 is pretty unprecedented in the industry. And there are so many women who spoke up for a long time that didn't get those results. And that's not great. But now we're starting to turn this corner where, you know, people are just saying, wait a minute, this isn't okay. And it doesn't mean that these guys need to, you know, go live in a hole somewhere forever. But it does mean that maybe they're not the right people to be stewards of hundreds of millions of dollars that goes directly into deciding, you know, who the next, millionaires and billionaires in the world are going to be. The tech is the most powerful industry in the world right now. You know, it doesn't make sense to have people with that poor of judgment and that lack of self-control and that kind of predatory behavior being the gatekeepers. Like that's illogical. And I'm glad that that is starting to be recognized on an industry level.
So there have been pledges. What's going to ensure that these actually work, these pledges, to prevent sexual harassment and a culture where this has gone unchecked for a really long time?
You got to hire more women. You know, you have to hire more diversity. I think it's telling that that in general, the women come forward and there's always multiple women and they always are from, you know, different situations, different circumstances. And so I think when you have a more diverse team, you can be better at hiring people who aren't, you know, going to do this stuff. And that when it does happen, it can be handled more swiftly because there's a culture where women feel empowered to look at their male colleague who might do something like this and say, you know what, this is completely unacceptable and you're done. And as we know, even if there's, you know, one woman in a group, there's not necessarily, she is not going to have the same ability, or one minority or one other, right? One person who's not a white dude, they're not going to have the same ability to walk in and say, look, this isn't okay. It needs to stop. You really need kind of a quorum. And so, you know, these pledges are great. I don't know completely if they're needed. They feel a little bit like if you need to sign something to know not to sexually harass people, like I'm a little bit worried, right? But I get it. And I think that people's hearts are very much in the
businesses
right place.
Do training, right? Yeah. So
absolutely. Yeah. And it's great to reiterate that and make it very clear, especially for people who, for whatever reason, are not getting that message. And I also think the most important part of something like a pledge is it makes it a lot easier to take action on the back end so that when they're...
It's on the record, yeah.
Yes. And you say, look, you did agree to do this. And so we can, you know, immediately deal with it because you violated something that you signed, not just moral code or legal code, right? And you can handle it right away. So I think that's good. But I really think that any solution that isn't centered around bringing more diverse voices to the table and putting them in real seats of power is probably going to be lacking.
people have proposed like a variety of solutions here, but they're sometimes at odds with each other. For example, Brittany Lotlin of Lattice VC argues that offenders shouldn't necessarily be ousted after first offense. Instead, they need to create an environment where people can fix their mistakes and improve their behavior. But others like Susan Fowler of Uber argue that we need to have a zero tolerance policy. How do you feel about that?
You know, I think at this point, right, it's one thing if we're talking about you know, kids, right? High school students or something where people don't have a lot of power, where they don't have a lot of responsibility. These jobs, particularly in venture capital, they're incredibly competitive. There are not very many of them. It's normal for someone to post even a mid-level job with relatively low pay and get in venture capital and get hundreds of responses from wildly qualified people, right? So because of the level of with great power comes great responsibility, right? Whenever you're talking about this stuff, you got to quote Spider-Man. And I just struggle to think that somebody with judgment that poor, right? We'll leave the moral side out of it and say certainly that you have very poor judgment if you think it's a good idea to be harassing someone. I don't know how you can then go on to make great investment decisions, because investment decisions are purely judgment calls. So if you don't have good judgment, then maybe you shouldn't be tarred and feathered, but maybe you shouldn't be in a role that is 100% making judgments. You know, if you were lost your voice completely, Ben, you probably would have a really hard time continuing on as a radio host, right? And it doesn't, it's just a mismatch of skills. And so I also look at it that way, having come from the venture capital side, which is, you know, some of these cases are handled publicly. Some of them are handled privately. I tried to handle mine privately and, you know, that didn't go anywhere, which
didn't
is why,
you
know, there was no response, which is why I decided to go public with it. But, you know, no matter how people handle it, I think once these firms know what's happening and it comes to light, they have to really take a hard look and say, is this the kind of judgment that deserves a six-figure salary and generous vacation time and an assistant and an expense account and all of these other perks, you know, or should we find somebody who's maybe just better suited and qualified for the job?
Sarah Kunst is CEO and founder of Pro Day. It's a sports media company. Sarah, thank you very much.
Thank you.